This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. Every other week, we bring you a segment with Gail Sheehy, and we'll be doing that in just a minute. It's all about women who dare. And we'll also this hour be covering a man who did something pretty daring. We caught this on NewJersey.com, why I killed my own turkey and what I learned about myself. The man wanted to eat what he killed, and it scared him. And we're going to get into that humorous piece a bit later. But first, as we do every other week, I wanted to dig in with this week's report with Gail. Gail has written over 17 books. Her earliest book, Passages, which explored the predictable crises of adult development, was named by the Library of Congress as one of the 10 most influential books of our time. Gail was one of the original contributors to New York Magazine, has been a contributing editor to Vanity Fair since 1984. In her latest book, Daring, a memoir, Gail focuses the lens on her own passages. Speaking from hard-won experience, Gail has also founded an exciting new online initiative, the Sheehy Daring Project. You can get to it at SheehyDaringProject.com, and it's there to encourage women of all ages to dream dangerously, conquer their fears, and act with confidence. And now we bring you this week's Women Who Dare feature with Gail Sheehy.
Tonight's daring woman is an alpha daughter. Like millions of working women who marry late and have a late baby, Ashley Bryan found herself in her 40s, suddenly caring for both a baby at home and a parent with Alzheimer's who was tragically regressing into childhood.
Well, I did really love what I was doing for a living. I worked as a television producer. I produced television commercials, and I just was never really completely aware of how old I was getting. It just was always kind of in front of me, right? Yeah, I'm going to have a family. Of course I'm going to have a family. There was no question in my mind about that until all of a sudden I'm staring at 40 thinking, that might not ever happen for me now.
Did you have anybody in your life, or were you looking into adoption?
I had nobody in my life at that point, and I was starting to look at adoption as a single parent, and then magically I met a guy, but at that point he was 11 years younger than I was, and I stopped looking at adoption and dated him for a while, but I really just thought it was just for fun, and that, you know, I mean, who marries somebody 11 years younger than they are?
You
I thought it was kind of ridiculous.
This is a confession I hear from many frantic women in their mid to late 30s or early 40s. You know, they're following the contemporary lean-in philosophy to reach for their highest career ambitions and warned not to back off of a great job or promotion for fear they might miss having a family. But somewhere between their mid-30s and mid-40s, so many are struck by a fervent desire to become a mother. So when you were dating this man 11 years younger, thinking of it as a lark, I guess you were teasing him and saying, can't you find somebody your own age? But then there was another aha moment.
I came home from a shoot. I'd been working about 14 or 15 hours, and he proposed to me, and I was filthy. That's not, you know, how any woman ever envisions a proposal. And so I just was like, okay, that's really sweet. I'm really tired. We'll talk about this later. And I went to bed. And the next morning, he was like, well, don't you want to call your parents? And I thought, well, you're serious about this. He stuck in there with me through a lot of personal hardships. My dad was sick with cancer. And he lived, you know, 8 hours away. And Chris would take time off work to drive down with me and stuck by my side. And over the course of, you know, some situations like that, I just kept thinking, this is the kind of person that I want in my life.
And you might have been fearful by that point that it was already too late for you to conceive a child. Were you afraid of that?
Absolutely. I had endometriosis, and I was getting older, and the idea of us having a child, and that was one of the issues, I think, that kept me from taking the relationship seriously, because I knew he wanted kids and I wanted them too, but I didn't want to be the reason he didn't get to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally convinced me that, you know, he wanted to be married to me, and if we had kids, great, and if we didn't, that would be okay with him.
Well, he must
but
have
I
really
was terrified. that I, you know, had missed that opportunity altogether.
Well, you know, in your generation, many women who marry late also become what you call alpha daughters. Sometime, maybe after 45, they're likely to have parents to take care of, right?
There was a lot of hardship in the first few years of my marriage. My dad, as I said, was sick with cancer. And then a couple of months after Chris and I married, my mom, who was caring for my 90-year-old grandmother and working and taking care of the house and everything that women do, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
So you had a mother and a grandmother with Alzheimer's, and obviously your mother couldn't continue caring for your grandmother because she was sick as well.
Right,
so
right.
You were like millions of women in their 40s today, drafted as your parents' family caregiver. I know you were flying back and forth between your sick mom and your sick dad in different cities, and that must have launched you into a state of anxiety and fear.
Yeah, there was a good probably two-year period where I was experiencing anxiety that I had never even heard. I didn't even know what was going on. I felt like I was having heart attack most of the time. I had bursts of anger. I wasn't really aware of. I'd heard people talk about having panic attacks, but I just thought it was ridiculous. I was like, oh, please take some deep breaths and move on. And then I started having them, and it just really turned me inside out for a couple of years.
And so I guess you made a decision to sell your mother's house and move both your mother and your grandmother, both with Alzheimer's, into your house with your husband of 1 year. You must have had some concern about what that would do to your marriage, and maybe concern that you were infertile.
Yeah, that was a really rough time, I think, for everybody involved. You know, my mother was always my best friend, and I couldn't stand the idea of not taking care of her. That just was not an option for me. And I was very aware that making the decision to bring my mother and my grandmother into the house could end my marriage. And when we finally got the report that I was, in fact, pregnant, I was so excited that I went to bed. I was exhausted.
This is Lee Habib, and we're going to hear more of this compelling interview with Ashley Bryan, a woman who dared, well, to change her whole life and turn it upside down. And Gail Sheehy doing a great job on this interview. When we come back, more with Gail and Ashley on Our American Stories. This is Lee Habib, and you can hear all of the material that we do on OurAmericanNetwork.org. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. And we're going to pick things up where we left them off with Gail Sheehy talking to Ashley Bryan. And Ashley, it turns out, well, she was in the process of, well, thinking about getting married to a man 11 years younger than her. Meanwhile, she was taking care of a parent with Alzheimer's, and it was just all so much. And we pick it off where we left it off with Gail talking to Ashley in our Women Who Dare segment.
So I guess you made a decision to sell your mother's house and move both your mother and your grandmother, both with Alzheimer's, into your house with your husband of 1 year. You must have had some concern about what that would do to your marriage, and maybe concern that you were infertile.
Yeah, that was a really rough time, I think, for everybody involved. You know, my mother was always my best friend, and I couldn't stand the idea of not taking care of her. That just was not an option for me. And I was very aware that making the decision to bring my mother and my grandmother into the house could end my marriage. And when we finally got the report that I was, in fact, pregnant, I was so excited that I went to bed. I was exhausted. We both were so excited to have a baby, and we wanted to somebody to be able to stay home, and I made the most money. So it made sense for me to continue working. And I really loved what I did. He didn't really care that much about it, about what his career path was. So being the more ambitious and the biggest earner, it just made sense for me to take that role.
The unexpected bonus, though, to your birth of a treasured late baby was a bold business idea. You were frustrated with the lack of information and support for people who are caring for family members with Alzheimer's.
Right. So in the course of trying to research to figure out how to care for my mom, I discovered how frustrating it is for people or for families facing chronic disease, in my case, specifically dementia. So because there's no pill and no cure and no real medication that touches this disease, it all falls down to the family and, you know, how to deal with practical issues like trying to slow the progression of the disease through nutrition and exercise and social engagement. But nobody gives you a real practical path to do that. The doctors, that's not their skill set. They have 7 minutes with you. They're going to say, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? Thanks. Nothing I can do for you. I'm going to move on to the patient that I can do something for. And that's what they should do.
Did you try, you know, getting her to eat unusual things and take lots of supplements?
Yeah. So when I dove into, you know, I kept reading that nutrition was important. And so I read everything I could get my hands on. It turns out a lot of it was really pretty wacky. And my poor mom, I shoved coconut oil down her throat every chance that I got. I pumped her full of supplements. You know, every article that I read, I was like, oh, we need to be taking a ton of vitamin E. And I would just pump her full. I'm surprised I didn't kill her with all of my crazy ideas. But that kind of led pretty quickly into me starting to do research and looking for clinical research, white papers, and that kind of thing. And it was just perfect timing because the scientific community was just starting to publish research-based findings that shows that a specific nutritional intake can literally lower or slow cognitive decline by up to 6.5 years. But all of the information out in the market at that time, it was research. So I found myself sitting at 4 o'clock in the morning with two laptops trying to figure out, you know, they say I need this kind of vitamin and these amino acids and this. And so I'm like, okay, great. So what food has that in it?
Tell us about how you began working with nutrition consultants from very impressive institutions.
We were able to work with some of the leading researchers in nutrition and dementia and develop some nutrition standards and an algorithm that enables us to make a meal planning app that optimizes brain health. So based on the research that they did, we've kind of translated that into a consumer-friendly application, and we're making meal recommendations and recipes available through an app to help families understand exactly what they need to eat, how much they need to eat, and then do their weekly meal planning, automate the grocery list, you can send that grocery list to friends or family who want to do shopping for you or to a grocery delivery service, and then track your brain healthy nutrition score over time. And we've also built in really amazing learning opportunities for families who want to learn about what nutrition can offer them in terms of protection for in the development of dementia down the road.
What you call your program is life in the moment, because you really have to be on duty in the moment as things change.
So life in the moment is is the platform that we're developing. We're launching our first product, which is called Memory Meals, which is that brain-healthy meal planning and nutrition app, in the first quarter of 2016. I used my personal savings. So we spent, you know, the first $25,000 just trying to understand, is there a market for this? Mm-hmm. And very quickly learned that there's significant pain in the marketplace. There are millions of people having the same experience, and there is no single point solution for them. There's no, you know, we have little bits and pieces. There's the Fitbit, and there's a bunch of meal applications, and but nothing that's singularly focused on a specific disease.
Did your job continue? Did you continue working full time, or
well,
negotiate with your boss?
I have the most amazing boss in the universe. And so I developed the concept. I took it to him, and he said, you should follow this up. Go for it. Just go do it. And what happened over the course of time is I was spending more time on life in the moment than I was the work that he was paying me for. And I think this happens to every caregiver. Mm-hmm. I focused a lot of my energy into developing a business, mm-hmm. but we feel like failures, right? I'm a terrible wife. I'm a 50% mother. I'm a 50% daughter. I'm a 50% employee. Like I was a failure in every possible way.
Yes.
And well, I went to my boss and I just said, I'm not, you know, you're paying me and I'm not giving you, you know, what I was giving you 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, I understand. And I think you need to just focus on building life in the moment. I'll continue paying your salary. You keep coming into work and I know what you're doing. I understand it and I'm good with it. Let's just go for it.
That's amazing.
And so he's been an amazing support, and he's given us free office space. So now we have 4 people on this team working in my boss's building for free. We drink his coffee. We turn on his lights. He's just a really amazing
person. No overhead. Tell us about how you started to work on your startup full-time.
Well, it was taking more and more time, and it was just make it or break it. And so I talked to my husband, we talked to my business partners, and we just decided to take a leap of faith. And I quit my job so that I wasn't feeling bad about taking money from my boss, although he continues to give us free office space. And Chris went back to work, so he's working, you know, from 5 a.m. until mid-afternoon. And I take our son to preschool, and then my husband picks our son up so that I can continue working in the late afternoon and early evening. And we're just trying to make this work. We believe that this is not just a business opportunity, but the opportunity to change the lives of millions of families struggling with this disease.
I think looking forward to January of the new year, when your son Ethan will actually be 3, here you have taken until your mid-40s, but at last you're ready to really launch the business of your own, but you're also able to be a present mother and a mostly calm caregiver for your mother and grandmother. And it all works because it's supported by a family-centered life. That's a new model. It's different from the Sheryl Sandberg model, but it's one that I think many women will respond to. Thank you, Ashley Bryan, and best wishes to a daring woman.
Thank you, Gail. I appreciate the time.
What a great story. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Gail live. This is our bi-weekly Women Who Dare segment. And you can catch us on our website at ouramericannetwork.org. And what a woman Ashley Bryan is, and what a daring moment. I think there's probably nothing more daring you can do than what Ashley just did. Not the obvious kind, but perhaps the most difficult kind. This is Lee Habib. More with Gail Sheehy when we come back. This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories. You're listening to what may be possibly one of the greatest songs ever written about childbirth, Bruce Springsteen's Living Proof. And we're talking with Gail Sheehy. And Gail, what a terrific report, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure working with you, Lee.
You know, Gail, how did you stumble across this one? And initially, did you see this as a daring story, or did it take a while for you to figure it out?
Well, she wrote in on my Sheehy Daring project, her daring story. But actually, she hadn't started the business when she first wrote in. It was the daring thing was getting married to someone much younger and taking the chance of trying to get pregnant at you know, in her early 40s, and then having to deal with mom and grandma, who both came down sick, and dad too. So that was daring enough. And then a year later, I got back in touch with her, and she told me about starting this new business. Actually, it was a couple of years later, and that she just won an award from an accelerator that was going to, you know, give her some money and some help to get it off the ground. So I stayed in touch with her, and when we started working on this show, I got back with her and then found this whole other side of it, how her boss had helped her, kept paying her salary for a while she was trying to get the business off the ground, and then how she finally had to quit her job because she just couldn't be the perfect mother, the perfect caregiver, and the perfect employee. It was driving her crazy. And so her husband had agreed to stay home with the baby and did so for 2 years. And the fascinating thing about that was he told me she gave him a choice. It was when they came home from their honeymoon that she moved her mother and grandmother in. And she said, you know, I know you didn't sign up for this, so I would understand if you can't go through with this. And he said, you know, you don't pick and choose when you get married what you're going to do and what you're not. And we're family. And so they really worked it out. And, you know, he got frustrated, and he'd say, she's driving me crazy. But at the same time, as Ashley told me, they began to teach their little baby, you know, when he was like 2 and then 3 years old. And he would see Grandma sitting at the table and kind of losing it. And he'd climb down from his high chair and go over and take her arm and lead her over to the sofa and say, Nana, you read me.
That's exceptional. Exceptional. You know, Gail, it's interesting. Especially as it relates to some of this entrepreneurial daring, which this is a daring trifecta in this particular story, Gail. I mean, it's daring doubled down and doubled down again.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a young entrepreneur in Israel, and Israel, as you know, is like startup nation.
Yeah.
And the amount of risk taking being taken on by young people, particularly, I'm covering here on the show. And I asked this one young guy, Zach, who had come up with an app for parking spaces. It could have been a Seinfeld episode. The guy was so funny. And I said, Zach, what is it in Israel? What's in the air? And he said, look, with the risk that we live around daily, this kind of daring is nothing to us.
Talk a little about
that. I mean, context sometimes matters for daring, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so. You know, there they were, these, you know, two adorable youngish people with a new baby and these two caregiving responsibilities. They were having such a hard time that it was really out of, you know, altruism more than anything else that Ashley came up with her idea for a business to help other caregivers. And she did all this research and found out that nutrition could really, the proper nutrition from research that she worked on with several major hospitals could actually help to delay and extend the onset of more serious Alzheimer's up to 6.5 years. And so she wanted to really create a memory meal plans and get the right kind of recipes that would have the nutrients in it that would help this delay of cognitive decline. And then ultimately, when she decided she just had to stay home with the baby and Chris went to work because she hadn't had enough time with the child, in Chris's new job, he's learning to be a chef. And so Ashley tells him, well, maybe you can prepare the brain-healthy food for my business. And he said, yeah, it's family karma.
That's great. You know, and I'm thinking of one other thing. One of my, you know, Alex, and you're working with him, and he's delightful. And I had told him a story about 6 months ago, Gail. I was on a plane, and an editor of mine had asked me to write up a column. I'd given a talk about love, and you know, a lot of men don't go out into the world and talk about love. But I couldn't help myself. It was my child's birthday. I didn't expect to be a father. I didn't particularly want to be a father. I was a single guy, got married late, and I did have this child. And I remember hearing this Bruce Springsteen song that you came in with, and I was writing a column about love, and I quoted Springsteen's words, in his mother's arms, it was all the beauty I could take. like the missing words to some prayer that I could never make. Uh-huh. And then I wrote, and I was on an airplane sitting next to a young lady, and I was typing this column up, and then I wrote, it was all the beauty I could take watching our daughter grow and laugh and play, the heart of my life, the life of my heart. And then I quickly quoted one of my favorite writers, Julian Barnes, who, when his wife had passed, he had said this, Gail, I was 32 when we met and 62 when she died. The heart of my life, the life of my heart. You put two things together that have not been put together before, and the world has changed. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing this, and this girl, I turn to her because she's clearly reading my column, and she's crying. She's got an engagement ring on. She's in her late 30s. We start to talk. She's working at the IMF. She's been married 4 years, and she tells me she wants to have children, and she's just shared this with her husband, and he doesn't. And she's at a crossroads in her life. And so I say to her, as you can only do with a stranger, what are you going to do? She says, I don't know. And she starts weeping uncontrollably next to me on a plane, Gail. And all I can do is hug her. I think a lot of women find themselves at this crossroads.
Absolutely.
At this age in life. What do you say to people at this point, Gail? What do you say?
Well, you have to follow your heart. And you know, when the desire for to become a mother becomes overwhelming, I mean, that's primal, and you can't ignore it. And if you're in a marriage with somebody who doesn't want to have a baby, and I've had friends who face that problem, well, they just go ahead and have the fertility treatments and have the baby, and guess what? You know, men melt after a while.
Yes, they do. And women, how can you not? And sometimes women just, you know, in the end, as we were leaving, I just said, look, I don't want to say a quick prayer for you. I don't know if you're a prayerful type. But lead your husband. That's what I told her. I said, lead your husband. Lead. And sometimes there needs to be a leader in the family,
that's
Gail.
Right.
And
yeah.
And thank you for all you're doing here, because I think in the end it's storytelling that inspires folks to lead. They need to hear the story. And the next thing you know, Gail, and I know this is what you're really trying to do, is inspire women to ultimately be leaders and in the end good followers too.
Absolutely. And I was thrilled to talk to Ashley's boss. And ask, you know, well, why did he give her so much, you know, rope? And he said, because, you know, she's just wonderful. And she's trying to do something that's really helpful. And he said, I knew she'd grow this way. And maybe in the future we'll be able to work together when she'll have media needs. And he'd like to invest in her in the future. So, you know, when somebody is really talented and passionate, wants to do something that's going to be a social good, they inspire and attract other people to be more generous.
And you bet.
That's what's going to happen with Ashley.
Yeah, it's the golden mean. Well, Gail, thanks so much for all you do. I hope you and yours have a great Thanksgiving. And folks, go to SheHeDaringProject.com. That's SheHeDaringProject.com. And you can catch all of this work on OurAmericanNetwork.org. Gail, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You bet.
I wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock.
And folks, this is Lee Habib. Once again, OurAmericanNetwork.org is where you can catch all of this material and more. When we come back, a man who decided to kill his own turkey. A real daring project itself.